ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is a momentous occasion. It's been some time coming. We now must move forward in a united way, not only uniting around the Tasmanian Devils, but also the Stadia project, which is so much more.
If you're a Tasmania Devils fan, that's the news you've been waiting for. The stadium is go. And that means so are the Devils. The upper house of Tasmanian Parliament approved the Macquarie Point Stadium 9-5 after what has been a long and tumultuous road. Votes of no confidence, a snap election, and protests from both sides. So will this decision mean the end of all that tumult, or will it continue well into construction? Plus, a crash course, see what I did there, in what has to happen for Oscar Piastri to win the Drivers' Championship in the Formula One this weekend. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Chris Rowbottom is an ABC Sports reporter in Tasmania who has literally been nominated for awards for his coverage on the stadium saga down in Tassie, so there is no one better to talk us through it. Chris, before we get into the big news this week, can you give us a kind of cliff notes as to what were the key issues with the stadium leading into this vote?
How long have we got, Poppy? Because there were quite a few, and they ranged from economic concerns, the cost of the stadium. That's been the main one. There were planning issues, some issues with the actual site that it's going to be built on. It is right next to one of the oldest cenotaphs in the country, and looks quite imposing. And next to that, there are heritage issues, given its location down on or around the Hobart Wharf and the buildings that is next to it. There are noise and sound issues. The Tasmanian Symphony Orchestra plays only sort of 400 metres away over the road. There are a litany of issues with this stadium. Now, the important thing from the government's perspective was that despite the Planning Commission saying that this stadium shouldn't proceed, they also did say that a lot of those issues can be mitigated, they can be managed out, and that is what the government has really clung to.
So reports were that Parliament was fairly divided about this matter, with independents kind of holding the cards a little bit. So who were the key players and how did it unfold that all of those issues that you've just detailed have been overcome to a point that where we are now, which is this stadium has been approved?
Yeah, that's right. And important to remember as well that this had to pass through both houses of parliament. So it had to get through the lower house and then the upper house. And it had to do so without the Liberal government having majority numbers. So they had to get the Labor opposition on board, which they did in both houses. And that ensured that it sailed through the lower house really easily. But all the interest, of course, was on the upper house where the numbers were a lot tighter. So the Liberal and Labor members made up five, and they needed three more independents to get the numbers. They were Beck Thomas, Casey Hiscott, and Dean Harris. They were the crucial numbers. Now, Casey Hiscott, he'd platformed in his recent upper house election as being supportive of the stadium and being yes, and there was nothing that really changed from there. So he was widely expected to be a yes, and he was.
How do you look a young, aspirational child in the eyes and say, we had a chance to do something great today. We had a chance to build our economy, to build our state, and to create the Tassie Devils whose roar will be heard across the nation. Mr. President, I'll be supporting this order and the future of our state.
Beck Thomas had indicated really early in the piece that she supported the stadium. She was for it. She was massively behind an AFL club. She's hugely invested in grassroots sports and local sport. So she seemed to be a yes. But as more information came out, she wavered and she started to swing towards the no position. It was too expensive. The Planning Commission didn't recommend it. The government hadn't handled it as well as it could have. So she was forced to negotiate a deal, essentially. And one of her big provisions was that the government committed to a funding cap, $875 million out of state coffers, $240 million from the feds, $15 million from the AFL to make up that $1.13 billion price tag.
This is hard. It has been hard for me and for the entire community, which has been really divided over this stadium debate, and that's been a really sad thing to experience. This has been one of the hardest decisions that I have had to make.
Now, her support for this is contingent on the state not spending any more than $875 million. So that was the key commitment that she got. So they got her over the line really late in the piece. And as late as last week, I'm, you know, confident in saying that she was probably going to vote against it. Dean Harris was pretty similar. He is an enigma. He doesn't do media. He doesn't speak publicly. He doesn't do many events. You don't hear from Dean Harris much at all. So we were really left guessing as to which way he would go. He was similar in the way that he met with the government. He was able to get some concessions from them. He had them commit to basically saying that, you know, we're going to spend all this money on this thing, therefore we need to raise money. There's probably going to be tax increases somewhere along the line as a result of the deal struck by Dean Harris in exchange for his support. So that was him. And Casey Hiscott, well, he got another layer of governance as well. Any more public funds that go towards this must be approved by both houses of parliament. That's something that Casey Hiscott wanted put in place. So in exchange for all of those things, the government was able to get them on side, get their vote, and they were the numbers that they needed.
So the stadium does go ahead. And the good news is the future of the Tasmania Devils footy team hinged on this stadium being built.
It's an historic day for the Tasmania Devils footy club. We've had a long and detailed process in relation to the planning for the stadium, but with the vote last night, we now have certainty. So it's a great day.
How have the Tassie Devils and the AFL more broadly reacted to the news that it can now all go ahead?
I think the main emotion is just relief.
One of the sayings we've got at the club is we are the team. And when we say that, we're not referring to our own club. We're talking about all of the people in Tassie and beyond that have helped us get to this place and are going to help us get to 2028. So when we say we are the team, we're talking about the masses that are going to help us deliver this club.
The no stadium, no team condition was very, very real. And there was a theory that perhaps if the stadium vote hadn't passed, then the Devils might have lived, the AFL might have found another way for the license to be granted. But the AFL never wavered. And the government on the other side of the deal never wavered either. They were always adamant that it was no stadium, no team. So the team and the club were very, very cognizant of that. So having spoken to them, it's relief, it's joy, it's celebration. And they believe they can act as an entity in the middle of the division to maybe bring some of the people against the stadium on board via the joy of the club. And obviously they will obviously reinforce the positive emotions of those who already support. So they're relieved and they can start to talk about football and key appointments and corporate sponsors and coaches and the AFLW team and the concessions and list rules around that and a jumper and a song and all of those things that people probably want to talk about and a bit more of the positive stuff in terms of building a football club. So the floodgates are set to open for the club now and their message was pretty strong. It's play on for the Devils.
So they are due to come into the competition in 2028. And if I know anything about building stadiums, which isn't much, but it can take quite some time. And so when are we expected to see the Devils playing in this new stadium? Will they be able to start their AFL journey from that facility on day dot, or will they be homed somewhere else in the meantime?
Yeah, the timelines are extremely tight for the stadium. Round one, 2029, as you mentioned, and there are other milestones that have to be met. So it has to actually be 50% completed by October 2027. That's less than 2 years. And there was a bit of a concession today, having spoken to the club, that it is probably more than likely that they won't be in the stadium until 2030 rather than that 2029 date.
Oh, look, it's too early to tell at this stage. It's a big build. As I said, there are some critical milestones that need to be met in readying themselves for the delivery. There's probably an assumption internally that we'll be playing games in Hobart, Launceston, at Bill Reeve and York Park for probably 2 years. It's probably a fair assumption at this stage.
Now, it's in the contract and always been agreed to that the club would play their first year in the competition at existing venues. So they'll play games at Belrive Oval in Hobart and at York Park in Launceston, which is actually undergoing a redevelopment of its own. So, and I'd guess that they'll play their their opening game in Launceston as well. So it looks like that will probably stretch from 1 year to 2 years at existing venues before they get into the stadium because of the nature of those timelines. They're really, really tight, and it's going to be a build that's never really been done before. So no pressure, state government and Macquarie Point Development Corporation, but already an early concession that 2030 is probably more likely than 2029 for the Devils.
So, Chris, this stadium has been a divisive factor for a long time in Tassie. There were planning changes, votes of no confidence, snap elections. Do you think that this is really going to be the end, this vote, this decision that, yes, it is going ahead, yes, the Tassie Devils will come into existence along the timeline that the AFL has planned for them to? Is this the end of the stadium drama?
I think opponents to the stadium are going to continue to oppose the stadium. And I think there is going to be really heavy scrutiny put on the government to ensure that they get it right and that they don't spend a cent over that $875 million cap. I think there's going to be, you know, pockets of civil action against the stadium. You know, whether we see human barricades and people chained to bulldozers, I'm not too sure. But in terms of legal challenges and challenges in courts and those sorts of things, I think they've pretty much been ruled out. There has been such division. There have been big rallies against it as well.
What I see is us raising our voices here because Premier Rockliff and his Liberal government have hung a huge sign on our state that is choking our community. Shame on him! Shame on him!
I think a bit of that will continue. But the question of will it, won't it, is now answered. And the next chapter begins. And that chapter involves actually constructing it, which is an entire different ball game in itself.
We look forward to seeing how all of that plays out. Chris Rowbottom, relief, as you say, for the Devils. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Oscar Piastri is still in the mix for the Drivers' Championship this weekend, but he needs a few things to go right. Put simply, the Australian has to win in Abu Dhabi and hope his teammate, Lando Norris, finishes sixth or worse. If Piastri can only make it to the second step of the podium, he'll need Norris to finish 10th or worse and Max Verstappen to finish off the podium. There's been a lot of chat about whether team orders would come into play for McLaren, in which Oscar might be asked to help Lando win the title. This is what the Australian had to say about that.
It's not something we've discussed. Until I know what's kind of expected, I don't really have an answer until I know what's expected of me.
He might have been playing a straight bat, but Mercedes' George Russell wasn't quite so even-handed.
I don't think it would be fair at all. I think they both need to be given a shot. And if they lose out because of it, you just need to say the other guy did a better job. And that's racing, that's how it should be.
If Lando finishes ahead of Piastri and Verstappen, he takes the title. And for the reigning world champ, Verstappen needs to outscore Norris by 13 points to win another world title. The whole thing gets underway at midnight on Sunday and into Monday morning, and the ABC will be live blogging the entire thing. Catch that on the ABC Sport page. Soundbites. One last thing on the F1. We know that McLaren have already won the Constructors' Championship, but Piastri's grandfather Hugh might have spilled the beans on what's been fueling the team's greatness, Lamingtons and Rumbles.
His mum used to put a hamper together for the team, and Oscar likes rum balls, so his grandma used to make these rum balls and Lamingtons. And of course, they took them to the track, and of course, they wanted some. And so it got bigger and bigger, and I don't know how many she made last year or this year, but because Kimmy Hillman, he wanted some, and you know, a few others wanted Lamingtons and all that. So it's just snowballed from there.
From the undeniably wholesome to the determined. That's what new Brisbane Roar coach Michael Volkanis is, to lift this team back to glory.
I remember once we went on a field at pre-season, and I said to the boys, we're going out to battle. You know when Alexander the Great used to go for battle with 3 million Persians, he didn't look at the surface and say, well, we can't fight here today. He said, we're going to fight, we're going to win. And that's the difference. And that's what we're building.
Chills. But taking it up another notch this week was Chicago Bears coach Ben Johnson after his team accounted for the Philadelphia Eagles over the weekend.
I know you guys are hungry for more, right? Itching. Let me tell you something. The city of Chicago is hungry too.
The city of Chicago!
Better, 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 better
have to run through a brick wall after listening to that. Huge energy. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Phil Pryor. Thanks to the NFL and Formula One for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.